as I was looking at the texts this week, as I do always, and as you're tired of hearing me remind you that I do look at them, one word kept coming back to me, and that word was peace. And it comes out of our gospel lesson, and it's just a small part of it, down in the middle of the paragraph that begins in verse 25. And depending on the translation, Jesus says something along the lines of, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Well, where does peace come from? Well, I think we can safely say that peace does not come from treaties and such things. Those get torn up on a regular basis or ignored. It seldom seems to come from political leadership and political elites. Not always. We have seen visionary politicians of one kind or another, or social leaders who have raised up and brought peace where no one thought it could be. But on the whole, this isn't a very peaceful world in which we live. There's been very few times over the past thousands of years when there hasn't been conflict somewhere. And that's just the geopolitical conflict. That's just the big conflict. The conflict between individual human beings seems to be there also. And while it's certainly not as noticeable as a war for the people involved, it's just as significant, maybe even more. And so if we're wondering where peace comes from, it seems that peace comes from Jesus. And it comes from someone who has demonstrated a life of peace the whole way through. Because what Jesus says, "My peace I give you." And Jesus is speaking to his disciples who have been watching him, walking with him for all of these years. And they can tell the difference between a peaceful person and a non-peaceful person. And so can we. And I'm not talking just about people who are, you know, argumentative or something like that. As I mentioned before, one of the most enjoyable parts of being a young single man was taking a crying baby from the mother who was at the end of her rope and handing it back asleep. It was just this whole thing where let me take it for you. You won't be able to. I'll give you a break. How about that? And it took me a while to figure out why that was. And it's because I tend now, a little bit less maybe, but to be physically at peace. I don't fidget a lot. And there's apparently something about the frequency of my voice when you hear it from about here that seems to be good for babies. I couldn't have done that if I was frantic. That's why I couldn't do it as well all the time with my own children as I could with other people, because sometimes I was frantic because they've been crying for a long time. They wanted something that I simply could not figure out because they couldn't talk yet, or whatever it might have been. And so if we don't have peace ourselves, it's hard to hand it off to someone else. It's hard to be an activator of peace if we don't know what peace is. So what is peace? It's more than the absence of conflict. There are people who are not in conflict with anyone because they don't talk to anyone anymore. And I don't think that's being at peace. I think that's avoiding human beings so they don't annoy you, which is one way to run your life, but I'd put it to you, it's not the best. Instead, peace that we can experience, even in the midst of difficulties, is one of those gifts that comes from God. Jesus says, "I'm giving it to you." Jesus, being God, and through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and all of the things that go into making up the mystery of the incarnation and the Trinity together are all there. And Jesus is saying, "I can give you my peace." Well, I don't know about you, but I want that peace, especially these days. One of the best things I've done to maintain my peace of mind has been to delete Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I deleted it a number of years ago. I stay off Facebook, except on Sundays. I put up my thing. I check my notifications, because the notifications are from people I know. They almost never post anything that isn't charming. So, you know, I'm okay with that, but that's it. I try not to spend a lot of time scrolling around. They don't call it doom scrolling by mistake. Spending too much time online seems to feed into that part of us that is finding it so difficult to just be who we are when we want to be peaceful people. So how do we get this peace? Well, the good news is we don't have to get it. We already have it. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and it goes on. Peace is something that comes with us. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something that we have to earn. We can't earn. And it's not like spiritual gifts that are given sometimes for particular moments in time or to particular people. The fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians are what it is to be in this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And peace is one of those things that comes with it. But it doesn't override us. I confess there are times I wish it did. There are times I wish I had no choice but to be peaceful. God does not work that way. God does not work most of the ways I want, and I'm glad for that, really. I tend to be a little selfish in what I want God to do. I wish it was easier. But when we realize that we're the source of peace is Jesus, and when we realize that that source is within us, it gives us the possibility, at least I think so, of living a life of personal peace in a way that just gritting our teeth and not being angry doesn't. I don't know if it takes everybody a while to figure this out. It certainly took me a while, and I could just be a slow learner. I have no problem with that. There's all kinds of things, and just learning now, and heavens, I'm old-ish. As I look out, the ish came out. But I'm certainly not young. Nobody looks at me and says, oh, there's a young guy. Some of these things I'm just learning the hard way. And the way I've learned them the hard way is by saying to God, in one way or another, in actual words or just in the deepest emotion, that I have to have peace now or I'm going to fly apart. I've had opportunities to do that, to reach out to God and say, I need peace of being. I'm not in conflict with somebody, but I'm not at peace. I'm not at ease. I'm not at anything because I'm worried. I'm afraid. Hadley's been in the hospital the last couple of days. Not because they're on death's door, but it doesn't matter when a loved one is in the hospital. You're not happy about it. There's something that goes on. And if you give in to the worry, if you live in the what ifs, you'll drive yourself crazy. I had a counselor, one of my best counselors ever, who said, whenever you find yourself saying what if, just change it to what is and see if that changes how you feel, which is good advice. I hand that off to you. But the what is that my partner is in the hospital. I don't like that. So what do I do about that? Well, I could become frantic. I could become irritating. I could tell doctors to work harder, to work faster, to do something else. And I see people doing that. It tends to be people who are there in support of a loved one. They're not doing it to be, it's not because they dislike doctors, it's they want things fixed. But it stems from this sense of inner turmoil, worry, and all that goes with it. And so if I'm going to be peaceful in the midst of hospitalizations or illness, or for that matter, things happening completely beyond my control and beyond my reach in the halls of political power or whatever else they are, I have to be at peace here I can't make peace in other places, at least not very often. But what I can do is I can come back to passages of scripture like this one and remind myself that Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is sometimes interpreted as, don't feel what you're feeling, because if you're not feeling peaceful, there's obviously some unconfessed sin in your life or something foolish like that. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying is, there's more to what's going on than what we can see. And if we can put in the work to remind ourselves that God loves us always and loves the person we're worried about always, if we can live in the reality of our experience of God, we find it easier to be at peace. And that's a good thing. Because if you're going to spend hours and hours in the ER and then more hours in admissions and getting people settled and all that, if you're all filled with turmoil and you're tired, it's going to be a tough row there. It's going to be a tough row to hoe. You're going to be a difficult person to be around, especially for yourself. And so I would like to say that when this came to be and I needed to take Hadley to the ER and we needed to do these kinds of things, I'd like to say that my first thought was, let not my heart be troubled, but it was not. But what I found was that after years of being in this relationship with God, of experiencing Jesus, of experiencing the Holy Spirit in my life and in others, and seeing other people, I realized that my baseline for turmoil has changed. And whereas before, turmoil was always up here as soon as something went bad, it's lower now, because I have a confidence in Jesus. I have a confidence in the creator of the universe that I am loved. And the people I love are loved. And so it was easier to go through those things. It didn't make me any less tired. It didn't suddenly give me insight into exactly what was going on. We needed to wait for a doctor to figure out what was going on, and we could do something about it. But the peace that came throughout all of that is what allowed me to be patient with the process, with the people in it. It allowed me to be aware of how good the people taking care of my partner were, how much they cared. And if I would have been all in a frenzy of worry or concern or anger or anything else, I don't think I would have seen Miles and Fatima, some of the others who were so kind and so caring and so competent in what they were doing. That's one of the things that peace gives us. It's not just that I don't get in fist fights, because I've never gotten in fist fights. It's not just that I don't get in arguments. That I can't say I didn't do. I would argue with anybody about anything at any time for years and made no friends that way. It didn't rebound well upon me, I don't think. I don't do that, because I don't need to. When my heart is at peace, it's easier for me to let people be themselves. I don't have to correct everybody, particularly about things that don't matter. And by living that kind of life, especially I've noticed in these last few days, that it has allowed me to see the goodness of God in the actions of other people. What a tremendous gift. For something as simple as when I was going over after going home to get some rest, Haley's fiance said, "Well, just pull up to the door and I'll go park your car where Haley lives very close to the hospital. I'll go park your car in the visit, so, and you won't have to walk. It's a 3-minute walk maybe." But he thought, no, this would be a kind thing to do. And that's how I saw it. And I saw it also as a gift from a God who loves me and loves him and loves all of us. That's the difference between whatever peace I had when I was younger, when I just didn't fidget a lot, and the peace that I have now, is that it's grounded on the reality of a God who loves me and has demonstrated that love in all kinds of ways. Not a God who's done everything I asked, because God hasn't done everything I asked, at least not the way I asked for it. I never got a sky blue Corvette. I even prayed for one, imagine. But these things did not make me a bad person for wanting, even for praying. But they weren't needful. So today, I have peace. And I'm grateful for that.